This is Phil Rowe.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Arthur Rank Hospice Charity provides help and support for thousands of people each year, along with their families, who could be going through unimaginably difficult times. The hospice can only do this by raising enough funds each year. In memory of Jim Carrington, his nephew Joe Hollingworth is wearing specially made T-shirts displaying a different one of Jim's fantastic photographs for each race. After running the Cambridge Boundary Half Marathon on Sunday, Joe was joined by Carla Brown, Head of Engagement at the Arthur Rank Hospice, to come in and talk to me. Joe Hollingworth had a rather mad idea that he wanted to run 12 half marathons in a year, and he's doing each one. And he's doing it with a different one of Jim Carrington's photos on his T-shirt and to try to raise some money for Arthur Rank Hospice Charity. He's called it A Dozen Runs for Jim. He's freshly showered at his auntie's just down the road, and he's made some time to say that he's put number 3 under his belt. He's still got another 9 to do by my maths. We welcome you both to the studio because with him is Carla Brown. She's from the Arthur Rank Hospice Charity, which is just down the road from us, about 3 miles away at Shelford Bottom. Thank you both to come in and join us at Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thanks for having us, Phil. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we'll start really with the history of Arthur Rank as a hospice charity. It is, Carla, the only one in the area.
Yes, it is, Phil. And I just want to say I'm so glad that Joe's had a shower after his
he smells after his fresh run. And sweet.
He certainly does, so I'm really pleased about that. But back to the hospice. We started our story, really, and our journey just not very far away from here, just off Mill Road, where the original hospice was. And many local people will have their own story about where the hospice was and the building and the people. And actually now we're a bit further away from the studio, just off Shelford Bottom.
Brookfield's Hospital. Mm. You were on the back of the site. It was a relatively modern building there.
Yeah.
But I know you really felt squeezed in. Not a lot of car parking. I did come and visit you once and bought a few charity hospice cards from the counter and enjoyed a cup of coffee. But you didn't really have the space. You've moved to Shelford Bottom now about 20 months ago. Obviously expanded on site.
We certainly have. The Brookfield site, like you said, Phil, was the care second to none, and everyone was really, really fond of the surroundings, but it just wasn't fit for purpose any longer. We needed to find a new facility where we could provide the care that is needed for people at the moment. So when the site was identified, it seemed perfect, really, because there is, like you said, much easier accessibility to the hospice. It's got parking very, very close by, which is important for loved ones, family, visitors. It's so much more fit for purpose now. And the move to the new site has enabled us to care for more people. We currently care and support in the region of 3,600 patients every single year. And we see patients at the hospice, but also through our day treatment centre in Wisbeach, and actually in people's homes via our hospice at home service and our community team. We can do so much more now that we've got the facility that we have.
And not only that, but people can go along and visit you, not because they're necessarily visiting someone and giving someone support who's in the hospice, but you have a lovely bistro.
We do.
Which is open to all.
Yeah, it certainly is. I invite people to come and join us for coffee, brunch, lunch, Sunday roast now. I'm sure that beef roast is cooking as we speak. We really do encourage people to come to the hospice and visit. And that might sound a little bit strange for some people to think, if I don't have somebody in the hospice, why would I need to go there? It's really important for us to generate income through a different way. And that is income generating activity for us, the bistro. And it's a way that people can come and understand about our work. They can see that it's a really uplifting environment. It's light, it's airy, and we have a really good cup of coffee. So for staff, it's perfect.
Comes highly recommended, and it's not far from Babram Road Park and Ride either. And you even had, when you had the facility built, a new footpath which was cut through. All the permissions were gained, and so you can always use Babram Road Park and Ride, as it's free now, as a little overspill.
Yeah.
You can literally just go along the hedgerow and you're into the back of sight, which is where your wonderful hospice is. The other, of course, advantage is that you're out of the city. You're in semi-rural environs where you are.
Yeah, you wouldn't really think it, that we're so close to Cambridge, because it feels like a completely different environment. And like you said, Phil, as soon as you park up at the park and ride, the welcome starts from there, really. There's the path to the hospice, there's trees, there's birds, there's squirrels. It's kind of a perfect beginning to welcome to the hospice environment that we've got down there.
And family, as well as those that have been cared for you in the hospice as well. Sometimes it's very important that they can see, with plenty of light, they can see into your gardens. Do you have volunteers that look after the gardens?
Oh yeah, we've got a wonderful army of volunteers. We call them Team Arthur. 500 people really allow us to do the work that we do. We couldn't do our work without them. And the volunteers range from volunteer drivers picking patients up that have maybe got a day therapy appointment with us, so they'll pick them up from their home, drop them off to the hospice for the day, and then collect them again and take them home. We have volunteers in our bistro serving fish and chips on a Friday, or we have volunteers in the garden. And Phil, you'll know our events that we've got, they are so dependent on volunteers. Marshals, packing bags, doing all sorts. If anyone has a few hours of their time, they want to do something really great, then I would encourage you to get in touch.
Go to the Arthur Rank Hospice Charities website. You'll find things that we have indeed covered at Cambridge 105 Radio. And I have myself, for instance, the Starshine Night Walk, which will be coming up again at the end of May, from the Shelford Rugby Club. You may want to walk for someone. It may have been an uncle, an aunt, a mum or a dad or a grandma, granddad, maybe a sibling. It's a great way of remembering them.
Yeah, so I've first-hand experience of that event. I led the walkers last year. And wow, some people do want to walk fast. It's a really great event. It starts in the evenings, getting darker. It's really atmospheric. And we start from Shelford Rugby Club. Lots of people, 500 plus people, come there to remember somebody or, you know, support a friend that's walking. And it's just a 10-mile walk around the sights of Cambridge. It's a really great event. It's happening on the 18th of May. And I would encourage people to register if they're free and able.
And several hundred people take part. Two courses as well, smaller course.
Yeah.
And a longer course, so those that
Absolutely.
Want to just push maybe someone around in a buggy if they're very young.
Yes.
Can go with mum.
Yeah. This year, again, for the second year running, we've got a sponsor on board, Bramley Court Care Home, based in Histon. And they bring some of their residents, actually. So it really is an event for all ages and all abilities. I say all ages, not children, can't take part, but all abilities, the shorter or the longer route.
Carla Brown there. We take a break for travel now, and we will return to talk to Joe Hollingworth in just a short while. Joe Hollingworth, who this year is doing a dozen runs for Jim. Jim Carrington passed away last May. Jim is Joe's uncle, and Joe is doing the dozen runs to raise money for the Arthur Rank Hospice Unit. Carla Brown, head of engagement at the hospice, is also in the interview with us. This particular interview touches me a little bit personally, because the person we're talking about, Jim, is Jim Carrington. Listeners to Cambridge 105 Radio may remember that for 4 years I hosted the Sunday breakfast show for this station. Jim I had already known. He had volunteered as a member of the team, presentation team, at Radio Addenbrookes, just down the road from us here. And he was my program controller there, so technically he was my boss. I did invite him because I knew we would get a good job out of Jim to do the Sunday papers, and probably about once a month or maybe every 6 weeks when he could, when he wasn't taking his boys swimming on a Sunday morning, he would come in here at 8:30 to our green room, sit down with the papers and work through those and go live with us on the Sunday breakfast show from 9:30 for half an hour. So some listeners will remember his voice, and I will always remember Jim as somebody who would never raise his voice or have a bad word said about something. Always a very kind gentleman, taller than me, and I'm tall enough. And his whole stature when he came into the studio was always a warm and friendly one, although he was very, very, very tall. We have his nephew with us for this little session as well. Joe Hollingworth has joined us in the studio. Joe, I haven't met you before as Jim's nephew, but you have some of the spirit of Jim, actually. We had a little chat before we started this recording.
We did, yes.
You're not based locally, in fact, although you're kind of central country, but you have chosen to do 12 half marathons. So that's just over, what, 13 and a smidgen miles, is it, Joe?
That's right, yeah. 13.1. Really important to remember the point one.
That must be the most difficult psychologically, Joe, to do that last point one of a mile.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
You think, who nailed that? Probably the ancient Greeks you can blame for that, for making it just over the 26 and a bit miles, or for you, just the 13 and a little bit of a mile. But you've just come successfully off the back of doing the third one, which is the Cambridge Boundary Run. Yeah. A lot of listeners will know such as the Cambridge Half Marathon, but the Cambridge Boundary Run, I look it up a little bit, and then I realised we are literally following the city boundary.
That's right, yes. The route is actually, it's a full marathon, so you had the choice of doing either the half marathon or the full marathon. Obviously, I went for the half. Apparently, if I wanted to carry on after that, I could have done, but didn't really fancy it. I thought the half was just about enough. Also, really good time now probably to give a bit of a shout-out to Mark and Michael Crawford. Michael used to work with Jim, and they joined me on this particular run, and that was a really, really big help. Well, we helped egg each other on, I think. I probably held them back a little bit, but it really helped having people to run with, certainly psychologically, and it was a really good experience. Yeah, really, really good. So, thank you to them.
You've got a huge list, actually. You're
going to be doing... Don't remind him.
Sheffield Half Marathon.
That's the next one. Yeah.
Sleaford Half Marathon, so that's not so far away from us in Lincolnshire. Across the Humber Bridge...
Yep,
for a half marathon there at the end of June.
That's it.
You're also going to Derbyshire, Ilkley, for the half marathon there. Kimbolton Castle brings us slightly nearer to Cambridge. Mm. You're just back into the county, just sort of across the border there. The Great North Run, though. And I was joking with you out in the office. Your good lady's here with us today supporting you. She's out in the green room. You must have someone on admin full time.
That's it. Yeah, it's taken a little bit of planning. I was really fortunate to get a place on the Great North Run because it's just a ballot. So you had to wait in January to find out if we got a place in that. I believe Jim's brother is going to join me for that as well, so that's really good because he lives up there. And we're really looking forward to that one because it's a great setting, you know, it's a really big event. So that will kind of be the centrepiece, I think, for the whole challenge, really. And then there's a couple more runs finishing off at the Olympic Park in London in November. All being well, that will be the last run, and yes, hopefully it will go well.
And also, conscious to zoo, that intrigued me, because how do you do half marathon around the zoo?
That's going to be an interesting one. Yeah, we're hoping that the animal's obviously going to be all caged away safely. That'll be nice. But
I thought you might say that you're hoping for a bit of animal power to pull you along.
For an incentive, yeah, that's it. It's going to be an interesting course. I found out so far, just with the first three, that they're all very, very different courses. For example, the first one was at the Velo Park in London, at the Olympic Park, and that was difficult in that it was 14 laps of the same route. So psychologically, that was quite a tricky one. The last one before today was in Leicestershire in the countryside. That was a really nice area to run in, a little bit windy. But yeah, I think I'm finding that every single one brings its own challenges in a different way. But it's good fun, and it's nice to have a challenge.
So you've got a fundraising website.
Absolutely.
We should mention that right now, because people still have a chance to donate the listening in Cambridge.
Donate, all year round we're looking at taking donations. The website is justgiving.com/fundraising/Jim's Dozen. So the idea being it's a dozen runs for Jim. So far people have been incredibly generous and we've gone over the £1,100 mark after three races. So I'm really pleased about that. So thank you to everyone who's donated already. Donations are open all year round, and I'm hoping to get as much as we can for the Arthur Rank Hospice.
That's where it's going to go. So justgiving.com is the website. If you just do a find on there for Jim's Dozen, or one word, or just Jim's, probably a space dozen, and you will find the site, which Joe Hollingworth has put up there, and a little bit of narrative as well, as to why we got to, well, where we got, sadly, with the loss of Jim. We ought to talk, really, a bit about the hospice's palliative care at home, because when we think someone going into hospice, they know they're going to be really well cared for. Everything you could imagine that they want, if they want a drink while they're in the hospice, even if they want to smoke while they're in the hospice, having some pleasure before the end of their days and before the end of their lives. But a lot of people really want to come home, Carla, really, and be cared for as much and be with their family as much as they can. And that's something that you provision very well at the hospice.
And I was just speaking to Liz, Jim's wife, before we started this interview, just to find out a little bit more about the care that we were able to offer. And Jim actually had time at the hospice with us in our inpatient unit, which has a full complement of care. and then had received hospice at home care as well, so had a few different elements. Our hospice at home team, they provide dedicated support to the patient and their family members in the comfort of their own home. So that's between 10 o'clock in the evening to 7 a.m. in the morning. Some people confuse it with maybe a sitting service, but it really isn't that. So for a healthcare assistant or a nurse to go into to somebody's home, it's absolutely priceless. It means so much to a loved one, really, because it means that they can get a little bit of rest and quite often regain some energy to be able to care for subsequent nights by themselves. And it really provides just that confidence that their loved one is being looked after by a professional that knows how to deal with certain things that may actually be natural at that time. It might be a different sound, a different symptom. But because there is a professional in the room looking after the patient, it just provides that confidence, the reassurance that everything is okay, it's under control.
Anybody who's taken the care from Arthur Rank Hospice Charity, it's free. Well, of course, donations are gratefully received. But everything costs money, and much costs Arthur Rank Hospice Charity just to stand still. Mm-hmm. You've also got not only the volunteers, the wonderful volunteers, Carla, we mentioned earlier on, but how big is the staff bill?
Yeah, we've got a strong team of over 200 people, and that's across the clinical teams and then all the support teams that envelope that as well, including the fundraising and communications team. And we have to secure £8.1 million on an annual basis. Only about half of that comes from statutory funding, and the rest we really do rely on the generosity of the community and for people like Joe doing these amazing challenges or holding events out in the community. We rely heavily on those people to provide us with the other half, which is no mean feat, really. And we have other ways of generating income. So we've got our 5 charity shops across Cambridgeshire. We've got our lottery. We've got our events. We've got an amazing corporate supporters in Cambridge that offer their time, energy, enthusiasm and their money. So there are lots of different ways that people can help us.
And do you have a wants list at the moment? Something that the hospice would like that it doesn't have at the moment, a new room or a new add-on?
We've always got ongoing projects. Really, the main thing is for us to be able to provide the specialist palliative care for everybody that needs us. That's our main challenge. Actually, there is one thing, our hospice at home service, which we have already talked about, that is so critical that we can continue to provide that care for people at home. That is their wish. The majority of people wish to die at home, and with increasing population and aging population, we need to secure our ability to be able to provide that care. Currently, there is 32% unmet need with our hospice at home service. We can't currently provide that care for everybody that needs it. Watch this space. We are hoping to do something about that. And with hopefully the help of people out there in the community, we will be able to future-proof that service.
Jim decided a couple of years ago that he would go to 4 days a week in his job. So obviously he had some very good bosses. And for 1 day a week, he was doing photography. He liked working in black and white and took many pictures of Cambridge. Have a look on the CB1 photography website. And us as a radio station used one of Jim's images with his permission of a bike leaning against one of the cast iron Mill Road signs on Mill Road. And it was actually up on our homepage for a while as a great essence and identity of the city of Cambridge. It was a nice local scene bit of photography. Go to CB1 photography to have a look at what Jim has left behind as a legacy. Joe, your hot foot from your run this morning, the Cambridge Boundary Run, as we mentioned earlier on. And we said that in each of these 12 half marathons you're doing, you have on your T-shirt an image which was put together by your late uncle, Jim. What was your choice of T-shirt for today? It's a photograph. You're always in black and white?
Not always in black and white, no. Quite a few of them are in black and white. One or two are in colour. But each one is just really impressive in its own way. And as you mentioned before, Jim had his own website. He still does have his own website, CB1 Photography, where you can view some of his fantastic photographs.
He's one of his still up and running.
But yes, absolutely. Yeah, it was a real passion of his. And seeing some of the photographs is kind of what gave me the idea for doing the challenge, because I just thought, is there a way of taking the photographs and applying it to some sort of activity or running challenge to raise money for the hospice. So that's kind of where it came from in the first place. And then somewhere in my mind, I thought of 12. I don't know where that came from, but it's there.
You're probably regretting it now, aren't you?
Interesting. I mean, each run is challenging. So after at the end of each run, I always think, oh, could I possibly do another one? And then a couple of weeks' time, I'll think, yeah, I'm up for the next one. So it does seem to work like that. And I'm just hoping to keep that momentum now till November.
Joe, we have to say very good luck to you with the other 9 half marathons you're going to be doing.
Thank you.
And everybody, please, as we said earlier on, go to the justgiving.com website and look for Jim's Dozen so that you can donate to the charity Arthur Rank Hospice. It's the only one in our area. And thank you both very much for coming in for us today. Carla Brown from Arthur Rank Hospice Charity and Joe Hollingworth. Good luck with the rest of your marathon.
Thank you very much, Phil.
And it was great meeting them both. They did that on Sunday, gave up some of their time. Joe had been running for that 13 and a bit miles that morning. And whilst the provisional target for this challenge is £1,000 in total, any donations that people can make at all, no matter how small, will be gratefully received. As you heard there, Joe is above £1,100 now. Visit the Just Giving website and find Jim's Dozen. So that's justgiving.com, the website, and find on there Jim's Dozen. Fantastic.